Welcome to the Presentation Podcast, Season 6, Episode 132. Let's start another Design Studio conversation about presentation design and the business of presentation. Here are the show hosts, Troy Koller, Nolan Hames, and Sander Johnson.
Hi, I'm Troy Koller from TLC Creative Services, Inc., based in Southern California. And, I guess I should say what's happening with us. What's happening is way too much right now. I feel like I'm going in, 90 directions. There are projects everywhere. But the interesting thing is we have design projects, which is obviously great. We have our virtual show projects, which are obviously great. And now we have live events. So we've got two people traveling right now. Suddenly it's like, oh yeah, it takes a lot to coordinate these things. Like, how do you get to, do you use a taxi or do you use Uber and what are the flights? And one last week, American Airlines, hi, it's 9:30 at night. Sorry to call you, Troy. My flight just got canceled for tomorrow morning. What do you want us to do? So we booked a new flight. So we're just busy in a good way. How about you guys?
Well, welcome to the Presentation Podcast, everyone. I'm Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz, and I'm in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I have been uber busy, which is awesome, despite the beautiful weather and the desire to get outside more. But I've been busy with, I think I mentioned last time, several court cases, one of which settled for $8.5 million.
Nice. And what was your percentage?
Yeah, as you say, your percentage?
Yeah, I know. I just don't charge enough for those things. Not coincidentally, but it is. I'm working on three separate slide libraries right now, which... I don't know.
I would love to talk to you about that. I'm like, what they're using for the back end. Let's not talk about it here, but that's a really...
Yeah, just different approaches, from third party to not. Okay. And the traditional capabilities, presentations, templates, etc. How about you, Nolan?
I'm Nolan Hames. I'm Nolan Hames from Nolan Hames Creative in Montclair, New Jersey. This is a... Just the rhythm's throwing me off here. It continues to be sort of a template season around here. They just keep rolling in. I've never done so many templates like right on top of each other. But I've got a bunch of feedback from two different clients coming back today, another proposal for another template going out. So it's like all templates all the time, which when you're putting in the sort of timeline examples, it's really hard to not just copy and paste from the last one you did into the new one. But we try to customize things to clients. So it's template season. And also I got my first, we're going to be talking today all about, sort of a in-person conference we're going to. I got my first request and the contract went out for my first in-person training in California in a couple of months. So they haven't signed yet, but we've been talking and the clients seem to want it.
So that's awesome, Nolan.
Yeah, that's, but yeah, it's,
getting back to
it's good. It's good.
Sense
it's good.
Of normalcy. Yeah.
Trying to get back to that. Well, let's talk about some news, some things that are happening. The first thing I want to tell you about, this is the kind of thing that I might normally put into a pro and tech tip, but I think it's so important. I'm putting it in news because it's brand new. BillionDollarPitchDecks.com. Go there, bookmark it. This is a collection, a growing collection of pitch decks, of famous and sometimes infamous pitch decks from places like Facebook and Airbnb and things like that, where you can actually go and see the deck, see every individual slide. And this is powered by pitchbear.com. I think they're a sort of a funding site or something. I'm not too sure, but this is free. And up until now, you would kind of see these old decks like, slip out here and there. But businessinsider.com does have a huge collection of them, but that's behind a firewall. So if you wanted to see them, you'd have to subscribe to them. But now, $1 billion pitch decks. I hope they continue it. I hope they keep updating it. Just go take a look. It's fascinating to see, how the big companies were pitching for better and worse.
Oh, this is fantastic, Nolan.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's really cool. And most of them are not well designed, but I will say most of them are good in terms of content. Most of them are like 10 slides, what's recommended of, how to pitch a company.
We just finished another pitch deck project and it is beautiful. I've already clicked on two of these to open them up. It is literally stunning. So when it becomes an uber amazing huge thing, it'll go on here and we could say we did that. But they let us not only do the design, they had a good strong style guide to work with, but they also let us help craft the messaging throughout the deck. Like, hey, that's I don't important. Think we need this full sentence. We can simplify it and put it here. It is, I didn't get to work on this project, so maybe that's why it looks so amazing. Lori headed that up with two of the other designers at the company, the contacts, they were completely on board with just how do you make impactfulness for their pitch. I think it's stunning. So I'm going to show this to Lori and say, hey, let us know when it shows up here, because this company, I think, will do good. Okay, news I've got. You know, the big thing going out there is the what's called the visual refresh of Office apps. Now, it is for Windows only, but my understanding is the Mac has adopted, and actually a lot of the design cues came from the Mac version, I'm finding as well. But anyways, everyone should have this as part of their Office 365 updates by now. It's not many new features, but it is new styling. In some cases, it's organization of how you find things within the app, which can catch you off guard. It's not, how do I want to say this? It's kind of listed as a Windows, part of the Windows 11 big update, but it's not. It's actually Windows 10 users will also get the visual refresh. So it's kind of everybody. This is specifically for the Windows desktop apps, although most of the stuff is already seen on the desktop. The Mac version and the web versions have a lot of the same design cues. I'm going to put a link in there. There's a really good insideroffice.com that kind of summarizes everything you'll see there. You know, there's a new dark mode. There's some things that I don't like. Just read my blog. I kind of call out a few that I'm really not enamored with that I think are detrimental to the presentation experience. But other than that, that's kind of a big news thing because it's a big change if you haven't seen it.
Well, you know, OneNote is part of that refresh, and we have complained about its somewhat split personality over the last couple of years. There's been the Office 365 part of the desktop, and then there's a separate OneNote app, and Microsoft is going to be bringing those two together. There's a Verge article that I'll link you to, but there's really not any clear definition on the direction of where OneNote is going, only that I think that split personality part is going away.
I think that's great because we're very OneNote centric, and I've been debating if it was going to stick around as a long-term feature for, I mean, we used it for, you know, 5-6 years very heavily, and we have so much information there. So this, I'm actually glancing through this article now. Thanks, Sandy, for sending the link. Mm-hmm. This is really encouraging. Cool. Okay, what else is happening in the news world of presentations?
In our A to Z wrap-up of news, I have two Z entries. Number one, Zeetings.com is shutting down. I never used it myself. I don't know if either of you guys did, but Zeetings was like an engagement platform where you could run a presentation through it and get feedback and all things like that. I think it did a lot more than I'm probably saying, but they're shutting down. Apparently their team is joining Canva or has joined Canva. And I think they're rolling their stuff into it, but I got the email that will no longer be as of,
that's,
I don't
interesting
know, next month.
I
or
never
something.
Directly used it, but we had it used on us, one of the larger meeting
sounds,
planning.
Sounds negative,
well,
but
no, it kind of made sense. I was a little off put when I heard about it. So it does like an analysis of presentations in some capacity. And I know one of the meeting planning companies that we work with, they pretty much run their presenters' presentations through it to make recommendations. And we got feedback. And I was like, what's this from? And I was told it was this. So, you know, I looked at it at one point. It was used on us, but we didn't use it. How's that? So,
there you go.
Interesting. So it's probably Canva keeps expanding. What else? What's the other Z?
The other Z is Zoom apps. This apparently is something Zoom's been working on for a while. So now they have third-party little apps that you can enable in your Zoom meetings. I looked at them. I think they're about 60 or 70 of them. I'd only heard of a couple of them, but there are things like Kahoot, which I think is like a...
Skip that one. We use it a lot. It's not my favorite. Have you used Miro though? Have you used...
No, but somebody mentioned that. That's a whiteboard.
Miro thing, right? Is awesome. Yeah, it has a library of whiteboards, like brainstorming starters, that's in the hundreds of preset templates.
Okay,
it is
cool.
Pretty... We use it in one of our embedded discussion rooms, have a Miro integration, and it's been used on many meetings.
Yeah, so it's all sorts of different things, engagement, like games and whiteboarding, and I think Pixabay has one, like you can get images from that and throw them into your background. So I imagine there'll be more of them, and these are just the ones that are launching with. But it's, you know, just it'll extend Zoom capabilities, which is always good.
So that's they're a little more productivity focused. Does Team do anything like that? We've got the Starbucks app.
Yes and no. Slido is an audience question answer as well as polling system. And I've used it. I used it previously at large events. And then we found that we could integrate it into our digital platform. So it's our polling solution. And it is both available in Teams and in Zoom as a Zoom app now. So that's a audience engagement tool that I think is great. And yes, Teams has some, but not nearly the level that Zoom is going for at this point.
I think there are more engagement. Like there's a timer app, like, you know, you just pop it up on the screen and set the timer. There's Dropbox Spaces. I'm not even sure what that is, but SurveyMonkey has one.
So
it'll make Zoom a little bit better. You know, Zoom is good for Zoom. It doesn't have much production value, but this adds some more integrations because Zoom's built-in polling option. I keep going back to polling. I don't really like the way it functions as a pop-up over all the content. Some people can't find it. And it's more of a hack put together. It doesn't seem really produced. This will allow more seamless and cool elements. Next month, September 26th to 29th, to be exact, is the 19th annual Presentation Summit. Presentation Summit proclaims no other conference on the planet, big proclamation, highly believe it, no other conference on the planet shines a spotlight this bright and this strong on the presentation experience. Bold statement from a very bold and worthy event. Myself, Nolan, and Sandy, well, we've attended many years of this event, and we will be on site in Florida for the event this year. Barring any last minute shutdowns of the entire world again, we'll see what happens, but we're looking forward to it. Today, we do have Rick Altman, founder and director of the Presentation Summit, and we're talking, well, not only about the conference, but how the conference is keeping with the times and trailblazing with a pretty robust hybrid event setup. So let's welcome Rick Altman to the Presentation Podcast.
Did we really say all of that?
You do in your website.
Did you really indulge in that level of hyperbole?
I am pulling this stuff. This is gold right here. I can't make this up.
You love hyperbole, right?
I have to, pardon me, but I have to go rewrite my website.
No, it's awesome. So, well, listen, welcome. Welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Most of our listeners will recognize your name and your voice. So, again, thank you for joining us. It's difficult to imagine, but for those who are not familiar with you or the background of the summit, can you give us a high level, just a high level recap as a way of introduction?
Well, let's see. The one thing that is an undeniable fact from Troy's initial reading is that yes, we've been doing this for 19 years. That is hard to imagine. If you had asked me that back in 2000, and what does that make it? 2003. How many times we get through this? I'd say we'll be lucky for three or four, and here we are that many years later. Thanks in large part to contributions that are made by people like the three of you, Sandy and Troy. You've attended almost as many times as I have. Nolan, what, the last 10 years in a row? Was 09 in Atlanta your first year, or maybe San Diego 2010?
Yes, 2010 must have been it.
Yeah,
so, and, about 11 years.
Right? Now, 10, none of you would describe me as stoic, I'm sure. whatever adjective you might use, it is nothing compared to the emotional train wreck that I am right now, I have to tell you. I was listening to what each of the three of you has been doing over the last few weeks, and I said, "Oh, I got you all beat."
I bet you.
So the next 45 minutes will be a therapy session with.
I need it. We started with the torture back in the spring over whether to go in person or not, and then tremendous enthusiasm over the decision to do it. And then I would call it unbridled excitement over the plan that we put together for a hybrid conference, probably the first one that most of our patrons will ever attend, and then a continuing kick in the gut from COVID. I was naive, I guess. I thought that, well, things will improve slowly, but they'll continue to improve. And, like the rest of the world, to think we have to, be backpedaling like this. I remain optimistic that that we are going to pull this off. Over the last week, when I've been freaking out and I've been emailing everybody who's attending, I'm getting overwhelming support for yes, I'm going, full steam ahead. So that was very heartwarming.
That's great. So
that's, yeah.
So yeah, I do not envy being in your shoes. I know you've had to make a lot of decisions, and you're continually making them. Well, one decision you had to make was for last year, right? So last year, like all conferences, the summit was 100% remote, not a surprise, and while a challenge, probably not a difficult or controversial decision. But obviously this year you decided to not just go in person, but to make it a hybrid conference, mm-hmm. which we're going to talk a lot about. But tell us just sort of overall about this year's logistics. It's on-site, it's online, it's both. It's what? How's it going to look different? How's it going to work?
Yeah, all of the above. The fascinating thing about staging a hybrid conference is that I don't really think yet anybody really knows how to do it.
Another book, Rick.
Oh, thanks. Just as I need. Can I wait till next weekend, please?
Yes.
There really are no authorities yet about this. There are people like us who think we have a really good idea of how to do it. How you actually put it together, a lot of this is just theory. Over 19 years, we really know how to engage an in-person audience. I think we're really good at that. And last year, I would like to think that we pulled off a pretty darn good virtual conference that was more than just a bunch of little Zoom windows. I think we did succeed in creating community among the several hundred that attended. And now we need to bridge that gap. And that's the buzz phrase for us, is engagement across the digital divide, bringing two audiences together to do this. And I think it starts with a continual commitment to all live seminars. We will record, as far as I know, nothing. Everything will be live. We're going to have virtual moderators in every room so that the virtual audience feels as if they can be in the ear of the presenters always. And the third thing is to remind everybody that everybody is a member of the virtual audience. Everybody can connect to the platform and participate in the discussions there and in the chat and rewatch seminars, go to the expo hall. So while we have these two different audiences, I think there's a lot of things that we can do to bridge them together. And that is almost job one for me.
So you've mentioned the hybrid aspect of it. I have a question, and this is more of a curiosity, and I'm sure this will change like as the conference is going on, but do you see a larger attendee count because of the hybrid element? Because now you get, we're seeing this from other events where suddenly they can bring in international that wouldn't normally have the timeline to travel to a conference that's based in the States, or they're, you know, just more budget restricted. Suddenly they have an option for attending, or it's just the fact that they want to have the on-demand replay and be able to see the sessions at their own schedule. Is that a factor that you see? Is that an uptick or a problem, or what is it?
Well, it's certainly not a problem. And we saw this last year. As the three of you know, we cap attendance at our conference. I have never been interested in holding some large trade show, some cattle call type of thing. We have been a 200-person conference since our inception, and that is by design. Last year, when we had to retreat to virtual, we concluded that there was really no reason to do that. And we had 400 people show up last summer. So a lot of that certainly is just, you know, was just bottled up. I'm stuck here in my room, in my home. I got to do something. But also part of it was reaching out to people that were never able to attend the conference. They lived too far away. They didn't have budget for it. They couldn't travel. Whatever the reason, we tapped into this whole second community of folks. It was just wonderful. That was perhaps the most satisfying thing of last year's conference is connecting with a whole group of people that we otherwise wouldn't have. So that was wonderful. I consider that to be a real COVID silver lining, as the second community that we discovered last year.
And what kind of numbers are you looking towards this year?
You know, I think it would be naive of me to expect that we're going to get that type of rush again this year. And I also don't expect that we're going to get a full house of our usual 200. We're planning for somewhere between half and maybe 60% of that. I mean, we get it. It's just so weird of a year. With a gun to my head, I really would not be able to guess at what we're going to get. I'm sure we'll have more virtual than in person. Mm-hmm. And last year we had about 125 people sign up the week before. So we'll be ready for that this year. But in terms of numbers, I couldn't even hazard a guess. And to be honest, I almost don't care. I mean, as long as we're going to be there for the people that want to connect with us in either way, and that we can show the world how to stage a hybrid conference. I mean, really, you know, we're the ones, the four of us in many cases, we're the ones tasked with you know, being the standard bearers for presentation. And so it's up to us to do this right. And yes, I hope that a whole lot of people will come, but either way, we're going to do this.
Well, if you have not registered yet, stick around to the end. There might be a discount code. Just,
exactly.
I don't know. Maybe we'll see.
Yeah. Rick, for those folks that are thinking about going or not because of the state of our world right now, what are the COVID guidelines have you implemented for those attendees?
So for the in-person attendees.
Yeah, the in-person, exactly.
Yes. So first and foremost, vaccination required. So we will be asking everybody to send us their proof of vaccination. And we're doing that well ahead of time. We don't want people to have to come to the door. You know, we don't want to wait until they're there. And just about everybody has indeed been sending us little JPEGs of their CDC postcards. And that's wonderful. So that's the first thing, because we do indeed want to create a safe space at the conference. We are indoors. We'll spend as much time as we can outdoors, but I'm sorry, we're going to be in ballrooms with projectors and all of that, and so we want people to feel as safe as possible, and I want people to not have to feel as if they have to wear face coverings. Now, this is the thing that's, you know, changing almost day to day. But it has been our hope that people will consider that to be at their option. They decide what it is that makes them comfortable. We hope to not mandate the wearing of masks. I mean, you may have heard me say it as late as a year ago that that it would break my heart if we had to impose social distancing protocols on our conference. I mean, could any of the three of you imagine? I mean, the community that is the atmosphere, the environment that we created our conference, and we can't shake hands, we can't hug. You know, we have to walk around like, you know, masked zombies. I mean, I thought, forget it. I'm just not going to do it. And up until what, I don't know, 5 days ago, I mean, this is the first week of August, and I mean, really up until the end of July, it was absolutely full steam ahead with that. And the Delta variant will have some impact on this. And again, anybody who feels more comfortable wearing a mask absolutely can. In fact, I have to tell you, I found this great product. We're gonna make a bulk purchase of transparent masks. They're rated as effective as anything, but you can see through them, so we can see each other's faces. So at least there's that.
Good,
we should probably have started a whole preface of this is based on CDC and hotel rules as of this week, and who knows what tomorrow will bring.
Exactly.
We won't hold you to this, Rick. We know we're recording a few days early, but it's good to know it's in place. I mean, we're doing conferences, and it's very interesting to hear all of the different approaches to the changing guidelines. And it's like Nolan said, don't envy being in your position and having to wade through that right now. That's a whole nother level of logistics.
Yeah, we're all taking this one day at a time, but I do just want to say Rick has been from the beginning, from, you know, last year, you know, with last year's conference and everything, has been reaching out to, you know, past attendees, potential, you know, future attendees, speakers and everything, and has really kept the lines of communication open, has been has been looking for, is trying to get the pulse. I think you sent out like 3 or 4 different surveys at various times. Like, this is not, this is not you just making the decision. Right. Like, this is what I, Rick, believe. Like, you have really gotten the pulse of the attendees and speakers. Aww. and have tried to, and are continuing to try to, you know, make the best decisions.
Well, thank you for that. And I will say that the outpouring of support has been much appreciated. I normally like to think that you know, this is our job to do this sort of stuff, and it's everybody else's job to just show up and have a good time. But but no, this is different. And yeah, the community outreach that I've benefited from has been priceless.
All right. Well, let's talk about some of the fun stuff. And this has to do with in-person versus hybrid, because one of my favorite events each year is the PowerPoint trivia contest. Right? Yeah. Now, how is that going to work as a hybrid event? Are you going to attempt to do it as a hybrid event? And I have a trivia question for you, Rick. Has anybody on the podcast right now, any of the hosts, ever participated as a contestant?
Who's supposed to answer that? Me?
That's you. Do you how well do you remember your past?
All right. So here's what I remember. When we were shamelessly imitating other game shows, and there was the what was that one, that the $1 million something where you could phone a friend? Remember?
Who wants to be a millionaire?
Thank you. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? We allowed people to phone friends. And I think each of you at one point was designated as the friend who would join the team of attendees for at least one of the questions.
That's like a loophole.
I'm going to say all of you.
Your memory. I'm going to tickle your memory. Year two of the summit, I was in the trivia game.
And you know why she was? Because you were serving wine at the table and she showed up for the glass of wine. I'm pretty certain of this.
No, I didn't even know anything about the conference until I showed up. And I was on the team. Our team won, of course. Wonderful prizes. But I can't remember.
What was your team name?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. All I remember is that it was the one where we're doing charades. What's the real name? What do we call it?
Pictionary?
Taboo.
Taboo. Exactly. We're doing Taboo. And my clue was me getting down, laying on the ground. I don't remember what it would have been for, but I was on the ground. So,
well,
I was.
I did not know that because that was before my time. But Rick, I'm a little hurt. I was a contestant my year one in San Diego. I do not remember our team name. But it was one of the – this is very unlike my personality. But I was like, well, I'm going to do it. I have no idea who these people are, but I'm just going to sign up. And
It is the ultimate icebreaker because it is a team competition. It's a cross between Jeopardy and Family Feud, and clue giving and teamwork is as important. In fact, I'm going to say more important than actual PowerPoint knowledge. So yes, people like Nolan step out of their comfort zones all the time to play in the trivia contest. To your question, though, Nolan.
Hold on.
Oh, sorry.
I don't think I've ever been a contestant or called on that I can remember. I know I wasn't a contestant. Now, I know I've been at the table helping. I remember one time Todd Dunn and I were helping set. I was helping with some tech stuff, just logistics. But I don't believe I have ever been a contestant. And that's my choice.
Wrong.
Really?
Yes. And
my comfort zone.
If we were a live, if we were a visual podcast, I would show you the photo right now, Troy, from I want to say 2004 when when we ripped off the match game and we asked contestants. To fill in a phrase and you had a rather irreverent answer, and I've got the picture to prove it.
Okay, so back to Nolan's real question. Well, how do you do trivia?
I want to know that, but we're also going down this hole. We should say that Sandy is one of the judges.
A great source of pride.
It is. I don't want the job, but I'm always very jealous of the panel of judges.
Scared to death the whole time of pushing the wrong button.
All right. So, Rick, how's it going to work?
Yeah. So I think it's going to work beautifully this year. And let me just go back in time, because we were determined to hold the trivia contest virtually last year. And it was a tremendous technical challenge for me. And I believe that I pulled it off. However, I really don't think that the trivia contest in its current form works well as virtual. And I think those who joined last year would agree that they were rooting for it to not crash and burn, but it really wasn't terribly engaging. This year will be different. We are teaming up with the Game Agency. They're an outfit that they are one of the only outfits in the world with permission to use Jeopardy as a branded game. So we are going to actually play Jeopardy across both audiences. So anybody tuning in virtually, anybody in the audience, and our three teams of contestants can all play Jeopardy in real time. Then we will add on top of that all of the nonsense and stupid juvenile stuff that we do in trivia for the three teams to play in person, and for everybody in the virtual audience to be watching along with those in the audience with their glasses of wine and beers in hand. So I think this is going to work beautifully as a hybrid trivia contest.
Cool. What's the name of the company again?
The Game Agency. We're partnering with them on this.
I'm excited to see this come to fruition. This sounds great.
And thank you for reminding us that there are drinks involved. That's always that's a good part of it.
So let's talk about the actual content, right? I mean, that's of course, it's the family atmosphere, the friendship atmosphere, the trivia contest, but we're there to learn. Our attendees are there to learn.
Oh, that.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. But everyone does. So let's start with your presentations, Troy and Nolan. Tell us about what you're going to be presenting.
All right. Well, Rick has got me on what I call a heavy rotation year this time. I believe I'm giving. Yeah, we alternate, I think, or some years are heavier than others. This year I'm giving, I think, check me on my numbers, on my math, Rick, but five different sessions. This year I've got
what?
A, Yeah. Well, wow. So first of all, I got a pre-conference workshop on data visualization. That's Sunday.
Okay.
Before the conference officially starts. That's like a 2-hour intensive on data visualization. Then I have 3 standard sessions, Beyond Pies, which is going to explore some less. And by the way, Rick is the one that usually names these. He has a good flair for.
Hold on. Side conversation, Sandy, Nolan.
Yes.
Do you find that you propose your title and your talk, and then Rick comes back with a new title? And Usually there's a lot more exclamation marks. Okay, just want to make sure it wasn't just me. Okay, Beyond Pies. Yep, that's Nolan. That's right, your comfort zone.
Our editor, right? The editor gets the headline approval, right? Beyond Pies. We're gonna explore some less typical charts that can be used in presentation, not your standard bars and pies and lines. Then PowerPoint for print, in which I give you official permission to use PowerPoint as a desktop publishing tool. I can't remember if I've done this one before or not. I remember for years I wanted to, and I guess Rick's finally said so, has agreed to it. Then text heavy, that's going to go over a bunch of techniques for reducing and eliminating text from slides without losing your message, or at least fooling your audience into thinking you're using fewer words and improving reading comprehension. And then the last session is, again, I'll be hosting the late night business roundtable. That's, might be Sunday night. That's where we pull up chairs, grab a beer from the bar, and sort of have a real candid conversation about the business of presentation, like freelancing and hiring and client management and going out on your own. And it's an open dialogue. And I walk away each year, like scribbling notes down, like just learning what other people are doing. So that's always a lot of people look forward to that. That's what I'm doing, Troy. What are you doing?
Okay. Well, first of all, I'm glad to hear you're spreading it out. One's the pre-event, workshops, and one is the, like an after hours event, because 3 talks in and of itself is a lot. So, a business roundtable, isn't that after all the sessions, official timing? Business roundtable isn't like a session.
Yeah, Sunday
time.
Evening.
It's an unofficial.
Right.
It's on the calendar.
Okay. Well, I have 2 sessions this year. I sound like a slacker, but I am going to be there with the tech team, and we're helping coordinate the hybrid portion of this whole event. So I'm doing a super techie talk called Speak Their Language, which is me simplifying the Microsoft, I'll just say, tangle of options about closed captioning and live translation. And then I'm going to be, I'll demonstrate those, but then I'm also going to demonstrate some other options, we've discovered for virtual events, because there's lots of really cool stuff out there. The thing I'm most excited about right now, just throwing it out there, we have a new integration with an interpreting company. We get our live streams with a single drop down. We just did, day 1 was 4 languages, day 2 was 5 different languages in addition to English, and not a single person had a problem with it. So I'll be demonstrating that. It's just some really cool technologies are out there. We're going to talk all about how technology helps people read and hear your presentations in their native language. Okay. The second session is going to be more about presentation design techniques, and I should quantify that the first one is an assigned session. The second one I'm doing as a virtual only, and I don't even know, Rick, if it's on the agenda or how that fits in there, but I'm doing a talk on presentation design using PowerPoint as a design tool. I haven't quite gotten Rick's approval on the title yet, so we won't announce that, but it will. So it's not going to be in the ballrooms. I get to go over to our... Rick, what do we call our virtual capture room?
Studio?
A broadcast studio. So I'm going to go to our broadcast studio. We're bringing a green screen, find that, a light kit, so everybody can have whatever they want behind them. But you'll need to log into the conference platform, the whole online, whether you're there or not, to watch that session or catch an on-demand.
I just have to say that I do not approve titles. I simply change them.
There you go.
Dictator style. This is your title. Sandy, what about you at the conference?
Well, as has been tradition in the last few years, I'll be helping out in the Help Center and anywhere else I can. So what I love about that is it's ongoing across the days. You can see me there most of the time. I would love to see each and every one of the guests stop in. I know that Lori Collar is holding a Women Entrepreneur Gathering on Sunday night, so I will be helping Lori out there.
All right, so you all undersold yourselves. I guess Nolan didn't, because Nolan really is the
insight. Seriously.
But I just need to say that Sandy has been a member of the Help Center team practically since we began. And the Help Center is one of the most valuable experiences at the conference. We regularly get people who tell us that they went in for 15 minutes before the conference even began and feel as if they got their money's worth from the question that had been nagging them for the last year, and they got it answered in the Help Center, where drop-in technical support from morning until evening is at no extra charge whatsoever. So that was Sandy's undersell. Meanwhile, Troy is essentially the executive producer of this conference. He and I together are the ones who pretty much co-architected what this hybrid experience is going to look like. So now the record is straight.
Thank you, Rick.
I should add to that. I mean, people, what the other thing that people do, that guests do, whether online or on site, is they'll go to Nolan or Troy's session and they'll say, I want to do that. Or I have a question about that, how that's actually implemented. And then they'll run over to the Help Center and get that reinforcement. So we're there to reinforce the amazing insights provided by the presenters.
And I just want to say, I go to the Help Center. I go every year. I go a few times. I mean, these are people, these are my friends, people I know, people I talk with, sometimes weekly. But still, I'm just walking by and I'll just sit down and say, hey, Sandy, Steve, John, I've been doing this I'm not a big Windows guy, but is this the way it's done? Like, oh, no, there's a shortcut for this. There's a shortcut for that. Like, oh, or I mean, it's just anything. I always tell people when I do my own trainings, if there's anything you're doing in PowerPoint or presentation or whatever, in which you think there's got to be a better way, or it's annoying, or it just takes a little too long, just ask. Because we will either tell you, and the Help Center will tell you, oh no, there's a simpler way, you can do this, or, okay, that's the way it is, which is comforting as well, because you're not, second guessing yourself. But
I really appreciate hearing that, and I want to expand on that a little bit, because we know that we do right by our first timers. We know the way that we make heads explode by exposing people to levels of understanding that they never would have achieved on their own. They come into this conference thinking that they are advanced users, and they realize immediately that there is just that the horizon is so much wider across all four of the tenets of the presentation experience, from message crafting, presentation design, software technique, mostly PowerPoint, and delivery. So we know that the people that come to the conference to learn, that we really have served them well. It is equally gratifying to hear that people like the three of you regularly tell me that, hey, I learned something too. So that is tremendously satisfying to me.
Rick, tell us about what else, who else is going to be there, from keynotes to breakout sessions, online, on site.
What are you really looking forward to?
Yeah.
I am looking forward to Nigel Holmes returning, the former art director of Time Magazine, who has just enjoyed this glorious second career, arguably maybe a third career now. Dold, he is thriving during COVID. He is wonderfully inventive. He is the man who, in front of an entire audience, I believe this was Austin 2011, he'd fact check me on that and he would remember, he rolled out an entire roll of toothpaste on the floor of the stage in order to make a point. He also once dressed as a caveman, and he and I once inhaled helium to sing a song. And this is what you can expect from Nigel Holmes, who will lead us off on Monday morning. Then we have a couple of locals. We have a young woman, Faith Christina Duncan, born with Down syndrome, who has made a career out of bringing awareness to that community. And she makes quilts for families with newborn infants diagnosed with Down. And she lives in the Tampa area, and she's She's like a celebrity there. And I made contact with her, and I was immediately charmed by her. And she might be she might also usher in a new era for us of the use of stages at our conference, or at least a riser, because all 4'8" of her, we might need to get her up a little bit higher than our normal keynote. We've never had stages at our conference, as you all know. I abhor pretense. Nobody ever introduces me. We have no music, no fireworks, none of that stuff. But we might have to have a riser this year. And another local, we have Candy Lowe, who recognized a need within the Tampa-based Black business community to help them out. And she created what's called the Black Business Bus Tour. And this is now a tourist stop where people buy tickets to tour businesses, and all the businesses cooperate and welcome them in and give them free coffee and donuts and whatever it might be. And she's been doing this for many, many years now. And I think that she has a wonderful story to tell. So you tasked me with creating titles. The one for her is that I've called her the modern day Rosa Parks. And I'm very much looking forward to her story. So we've got a couple of very interesting homegrown storytellers in our group of keynotes this year.
And Everybody should just jump online. We'll put the web address in the show notes, but you can just type in Presentation Summit 2021 and it'll find it, because the lineup is stellar. The amount of topics is stellar. I am looking forward to a number of the sessions. And coincidentally, it was not hard. Well, maybe it was hard to come up with a tech team to be there, because we're actually going to have room techs in each of the ballrooms, because we need to capture the live stream and do all the AV oriented stuff. And it was pretty easy sell when I went to my team, like, hey, I need you to come and sit for about 6 hours running and listening to presentation talks. Yeah, that was an easy sell, getting people there. So yeah, I think anybody should check out the online agenda, because it's pretty darn impressive. I'm really looking forward to it. As a presentation designer, I'm looking forward to it. But even the way you've reached out or branched out on the keynotes, being not presentation industry, but storytelling and kind of creating a bigger picture there, I think it's all wonderful.
Now, okay. There has been one casualty this year. I'm pleased to say we will no longer have the encore performances. One of the most anticipated parts of the conference, where we ask all of our attendees to vote on a session that perhaps they missed the first time around, that we would repeat at the end of the day on Wednesday, our final day. Now, thanks to Troy's team, every single seminar and all the keynotes will be captured in the live stream and made available probably just within hours as on-demand content. So anybody, any member of either of our audience, in person or virtual, will be able to relive any of the seminars for 6 months? I mean, it's some ridiculous amount of time.
And they're live in about 15 to 20 minutes. It's just a back-end processing time.
And I appreciate that. That gives me an extra hour at the pool on the last day that I have to run back to do
a session. I always have to leave early.
Yeah. It's hard to do that extra day out there. So this is, I think it's a really big, we have a lot of conferences that are now embracing this as going forward. So we're talking 2022. They are doing their conference live. So they're looking into the future. But they're still having an on-site capture team, but not for live. They want it for the on-demand aspect of it, because they see that as a going forward, just a new solution. And it's so easy to do, because live stream and records are so similar. So they're doing it that way. So we have a couple of events that are not going to be live. Hold on, let me rephrase that. They will be in person. They will not be live streamed. So in other words, there's no hybrid portion. But as soon as the conference closes, the whole content becomes available to all their attendees. It's kind of a new thing. Okay, I do have a question. So anyone that has attended the Presentation Summit, they know that, you, Rick, are the Uber conference host. You are the personality of the event, all of which is great. But I happen to know, and actually I hope it's okay to mention this here, because I don't know if you've announced this, that for this year's hybrid event, you are doing something you have never done at a past presentation summit. I mean, I know there's a lot of things, but you personally have relinquished some of your host duties this year. Can you share a little bit about that? Because I know this is a big planning and it was an anguish element in the early planning stages.
You are right. As I mentioned at the outset, the bridging of the digital gap, the bridging of the of our two audiences, bringing them together is just one of the top priorities. And I don't believe that any one person can do that. When I am about to give opening remarks first thing in the morning, it is just not possible for me to be in a television studio also. So indeed, I have enlisted the help of a good friend of mine, John Chen, who is a virtual presentation wizard and has an outgoing personality. If he told me that he invented Zoom, I would believe him. And the kinds of things that he knows how to do it on that platform is incredible. And he is going to act as the virtual MC, sort of like the Ed McMahon to Johnny Carson, or you know, the warm up, the one whose job it is to get people excited beforehand. He will make several appearances across throughout each day on the virtual platform to tee up topics, to schmooze with our audience members, do a recap at the end of the day each morning to get everybody excited. We're going to have an open house on Sunday, the first afternoon of the conference, where he'll just give the virtual audience a walking tour, so to speak, of the platform. I'm equally excited to be and grateful to be sharing some of the responsibilities, because boy, last year being a virtual host kicked my butt, and being an in-person host always kicks my butt, and I don't have enough butt to go around. So yes, I need help.
So let's see here. We're going to call John Ed, and we're going to call you Johnny. Got it. Ed and Johnny show. I think you've done a lot on the planning stage. So yeah, John's going to do some, we're going to start our live streams early for just the remote audience,
right?
And then we're gonna have some other ones while we're all enjoying lunch. They get to have a little lunchtime event. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it was a big deal, and I know you anguished over it, and I'm pretty excited. So now we have dueling hosts. So that'll be fun. Hey, Nolan, can you announce, did you and Rick talk about a promo code? How can we talk
no
about
but
one?
We're gonna make him give us one.
We
would love to give the listeners, if they have not signed up already, a promo code.
Okay, let's see. How about $100 off? $100 off for anybody.
We'll take it.
All right, we'll take
podcast.
It.
And how about Prespod, PRESPOD, Prespod 100.
Nice.
I'm going to write this down because I need to then
program it in.
Prespod 100 in the client code field. That's what we call it at the RegForm, client code. But put that in, and that will automatically take $100 off.
Now, that'll work whether you're registering for the in-person or the hybrid. Or
correct.
For the remote.
Correct.
Well, thank you. We're looking forward to that. We hope we get more people. And again, if you can't make it for whatever reason, this is a great opportunity to join remotely and then to additionally get, you know, even if you can only make it for a couple of days, still sign up, join remotely. You're going to get 6 months of playback of all the sessions. And what we should point out too, like this is one of those conferences where there are multiple tracks. So even if you're there, there's literally no way you can experience everything.
That's
so
right.
So having now everything, recorded and everything is going to allow you to literally experience the whole conference.
And one last point to be made about the virtual experience. Again, we think we've got a really good lineup of topics, and we know we've just got drop dead expertise among our speakers. But it's not going to be that you're going to be sitting there watching somebody's headshot in a Zoom-like window. It's going to be very different from that. You're going to be watching our presenters standing up in front of a room of people, multiple camera angles, wide shots of the room, close-ups, screen shares. It's going to be much more like you're watching a professional television broadcast. And we think that's going to add immeasurably to the virtual experience.
It will.
Thank you, Rick, for joining us. We are looking forward immensely to just about a month away, the presentation summit, and being there and having everyone join in. This is the 19th annual event. I personally can say I've been to 17, including the inaugural 2003, is it, Rick?
That's right.
Gathering back in Tucson. I think that was more of a gathering. It was awesome. and that's where I met many of the people that are now my best lifelong friends, because I knew no one outside of my design circle back then. On-site as a part of this group, virtual and part of the extended group, this is an amazing event for the presentation industry. So thank you for continuing to move it forward, Rick. And in addition to that, we're going to jump into some news and then some pro and tech tips. And Rick, can you stick around for a pro and tech tip?
I got one ready.
Okay, here we go. Okay, pro and tech tip time. We get to talk about all kinds of fun stuff. And because we've only been talking about a large conference, I'm going to throw a technical one out there. This can apply to your home TV setup, whatever it is. But here's the deal. HDMI cables, they have a 15 to 25 foot maximum run. You really should, you just can't rely on the transmission going through it. There's also different levels. There's, you know, 1 point anything, ignore, 2.0b, there's new 2.1. Some of the features you don't need, like 8K resolution out of the 2.1 versions, but there is an item called an active HDMI cable. This is my tech tip. They don't cost that much more. If you need any cable beyond 25 feet, really anything beyond 50 feet, they have they hold the electrical, now I'm at a loss for the word. They hold the electrical charge and it's in a ballast. They have like a little mini ballast. That is totally the wrong word to use, but it holds the electrical charge and it passes it on. So we have 50 and 75 foot cables. We've got a trunk load full of them that are showing up to the presentation summit. And that's how we do our cable runs across the room. So instead of being a $15 cable, they're more like $50 to $75, but they allow you to do what HDMI can't do. And I think a lot of people get hung up with suddenly my screen goes black or it flickers or the audio doesn't sound good. It's because HDMI wasn't made for those long transmission runs. There's a lot of other options out there, but look for active HDMI cables. If you're not familiar with them, there's my little tech tip. You can be familiar.
I had no idea. Is there a cap, a maximum to active HDMI?
100 foot. And then after that, you go to
a repeater.
Optical. Well, you can go to repeaters. Yes, you can. There's actually inline. They're basically, you plug an HDMI cable into it. It has a power, it goes into the wall port. It's a power block and then it'll extend it. There's also, fiber optic cables. They cost more, but they're very cool. And you can run those. I've seen 300 foot runs on those. And then there's other options as well. You can convert it over to Ethernet and run it through a different system. So there's a head on each end. But anyways, active cables, they don't cost that much more. And you just use a standard cable. Oh, there is a trick to those. Haha. So I've got a tip to my tech tip. They are directional. The power only goes one direction. So you can oftentimes, so literally what you connect to your output device, your computer, needs to be the output end. And then the other end is the receiving end. Otherwise, if you have it backwards and you've already run that 75 feet through all your stuff and you got to flip it around, people usually get upset. So they are directional.
I never knew that.
Yeah, only the active ones.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Sandy, what do you have?
Well, during our last podcast, my tech tip was the Remarkable tablet. And I'm going to follow up on that because it was such an investment. I was very concerned about the potential results, but I felt comfortable because it comes with a 30-day trial period. So I have
so you
not
returned that one
it.
And you bought another one on another 30 days. So you can just kind of keep
exactly.
rolling it over
I
to
kept
your
going. Shirt. No, I'm just going to follow up and say, I like it. I like how it feels. I'm going to show you guys on video, but it's just this really sexy, cute little tablet. It writes, it has a pencil like feel on paper. I just love that that connection that I get from it. So far, so good. I've already gone through one marker tip, though. I don't know if that's going to be a negative thing, but I love it.
Well, bring it down to Florida so I can play with it.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Rick, how about you?
All right. Long after we kick COVID's ass, we are going to be presenting virtually. I think for the rest of our careers, we're going to be responsible for advancing its state of the art. And so I think the time is now to up your game. Now, you do not need to commandeer your daughter's bedroom, as I did, and drop $1,500 on four cameras, three lights, and a professional grade switcher. You do not have to go completely overboard as I did. But I think you should invest in a good USB-based microphone, at least one camera with a wider angle than the built-ins, and then a simple USB capture device so that you could use it with Zoom and Teams and the like. Your audience deserves to be able to hear you perfectly and see more of you than a mugshot. And so that is my pro tip to up your virtual game.
I agree. My tech tip is a book that I got turned on to by Julie Terberg. It's called The Secret Lives of Color by Cassia St. Clair. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. It is a book with multiple chapters. Every chapter is a different color. And if you look at the side, the colors are printed on the edge. So it's a nice rainbow book. And it basically goes through the rainbow of, and when I say every color, there are hundreds of colors in here. Things like, you know, Prussian blue and Dutch orange and sort of historical colors. Mm-hmm. And it tells the story. Each chapter is like a page or two pages or a page and a half. It just tells the story of that color. Like why, and you learn things like why is there an orange stripe on the New York City flag? It's because of Dutch orange, and it goes into the history of orange and why the Dutch used it, and of course, and it's a great read. I read a couple chapters every night, and it's The Secret Lives of Color by Cassia St. Clair. Highly recommend it.
I'm dying to know. Is there a Kindle version, and how do they do that in color?
I'm sure there's a Kindle version, but I don't think, you know, there are no photos actually. The only color is on the strip on the little edge. So there's no
So it's not like the full page is in color. It's just a little
strip. So you can quickly flip to, ooh, I want to read about purples. I want to read about yellows. Okay. And yeah, mm-hmm. It's really, really interesting.
Like
lots of toxic materials and paints over the centuries. That you learn about and how all those colors that the, you know, great masters, you know, they mix their own paints, how they made them. It's really, really interesting.
Okay. I'm already on Amazon, but wait, it's cheaper in hardcover than paperback. That's different.
Get the hardcover.
I'm ordering it.
Yeah.
This is Troy from TLC Creative Services, a professional presentation design agency. Checks out tlccreative.com. We have a PowerPoint blog, which I just was told has not posted anything for the past week. So obviously I got to go in and see what's going on because the posts are there. But that's the powerpointblog.com. And then we do lots and lots of virtual events, and we bring presentations and presenters to the virtual space.
This is Nolan from Nolan Hames Creative. Check out my blog, presentyourstory.com. You can get lots of free downloads and goodies. And you can also check out nolanhamescreative.com if you're interested in remote or in-person training or design work and presentation and print.
And this is Sandy Johnson with Presentation Whiz. You can visit my website and blog at presentationwhiz.biz. I'm at the Presentation Guild at presentationguild.org. Also, I'm on LinkedIn as Sandra Johnson, PowerPoint MVP, and Twitter as @PPTWiz.
Rick Altman with the Presentation Summit. Thanks to the Presentation Podcast gang for having me join them for this week. PresentationSummit.com, September 26th to the 29th. It would be our privilege to have you join us, either in our virtual or our in-person audience.
Thank you for joining us for another great presentation conversation. Episode show notes are available from the Presentation Podcast website at thepresentationpodcast.com. Also, through the website, contact the show hosts with episode suggestions, questions, or comments. We want other designers to join us, and you can help. Please leave a review on iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services Incorporated, and new episodes release on the first and third Tuesday of each month.